nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, we're joined by Matt Burnell from ClickBid to discuss event fundraising and fundraising technology trends we've seen this year. Let's get right into it.
Hey, nonprofits, raise more money. We're here with another episode, Trevor and Jason. Hello, HGA Nation. We've got a very, very special guest, a friend of HGA, joining us today. Matt, where are you located?
I am in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, you're near your home base then. Okay, gotcha. So from Grand Rapids, Michigan, we've got Matt Burnell, the founder and CEO of ClickBid with us. So a true fundraising enthusiast, and I would like to say an expert in the space. And we've got him on today to ask some really cool questions. ClickBid is a great mobile bidding software company. As mentioned, friend of HGA, we use ClickBid and work with his group on a regular basis, and they're fantastic. So thanks so much for joining us, Matt. Really, really cool, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Appreciate it, brother. Yeah.
So one of the things that we wanted to just hit on, because, you know, you guys are doing seeing so many events across the country like we are, and really just to say, what are you guys seeing? What's working really well? What you're seeing is doing well? Maybe changes that haven't, you know, you've seen different than the last couple of years. What's great? What's not? Just anything that you had to see on that.
Well, thanks for having me on the podcast today. And
absolutely, brother.
Yeah, the last 2 years, you know, certainly has impacted a lot of people and changed the way fundraising happens. We pivoted to virtual. And our hope is to see, you know, as we, you know, put COVID somewhat behind us, is to see a transition from virtual to hybrid. And the good news in all of this is that people are still, you know, they're still doing events. They're still doing silent auctions. And there's a huge value for that. Getting people back into the ballroom is just, you know, we're seeing a huge increase from last year and, of course, the year before of people doing in-person events. And so, you know, as working with nonprofits like yourself, you know, we really want to drag nonprofits. Sometimes you see two skid marks on the path,
right.
Bringing them.
Oh, yeah, all the time. The,
especially before COVID, right, brother? So,
right.
This is a necessary evil, I like to say.
Yeah, we don't want it to be a flash in the pan, because the thing that we found in COVID was that people were still raising a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And virtual events were even more profitable because they were less expensive. And so, you know, we want people to leverage the benefits that they got out of that into, you know, 23, 24, 25, you know, down the road, it's become just a standard. And I remember back, you know, back when we started ClickBid in, you know, 2010 and then doing our events even before that in 2002 to 2010 when we incorporated was it feels like we're back in some of that pattern again, where we're bringing nonprofits into the technology world.
Love
back
that,
then.
Man. Yeah,
of going
from
paper to electronic. Now I feel like we're doing the exact same thing, but with, you know, in-person events, but bringing in that virtual component.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you think of a institution, a school or a hospital that has constituents all over the world, and they're busy and they're out of town, you don't want them to miss your event. You want them to hear the message, participate, raise a paddle. And so you can do all that. And we're seeing more and more of that now. People are experimenting with it, exploring it. And I think they're doing really well with it.
That's huge, man.
You know, that's something that I've talked to a lot of, like you said, like school foundations and stuff. And I said, well, how many people are here? How many people you got around the country? Oh, we've got thousands.
Yeah.
Well, do they all come in for your event? Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it's like they never even thought that they've got this huge donor base who believe in what they do and are there. And so it's just leverage the technology to bring them
you
in.
You mentioned the schools too. I mean, that's huge, Matt, of course, because we think that that's one of the easiest ways for folks to give is when they're going to give to their children's school, right? But then you got grandparents, you have aunts and uncles, you have the alma mater, you know, the alumni, pardon me, you know, of the school, whatever the institution might be. That's a tremendous giving potential, right? With the alumni alone and then the other extended family that want to give to the children's school. So, empowering these organizations to do that and to stretch out like that. I think it's fantastic. It's just, unfortunately, for fundraising pre-COVID, there was such a myopic focus, you know what I mean, on just let's get the folks in the room and we'll sell the tickets and the tables and all this good stuff. But this has just opened up the whole world. We just don't know. We don't even know how deep the rabbit hole goes in our estimation, you know what I mean? Really cool stuff.
Yeah, there's a good analogy I read somewhere where, you know, a venue is a, you know, your four walls of the venue, and you rent it for, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours to put on your event.
Right.
And then you have to leave. Like, you have to get everything out of there by 1 a.m. in the morning, or else you start getting billed extra. I mean, there's all these parameters around this box that you have.
Yep.
But it's what they've been doing for, you know, for years. And the analogy is, you know, a girl goes over to her grandparents' house for Thanksgiving, and there's a ham, and the ham always have both ends cut off, the front and the back. And she says, "Why do you do that?" And then her mom says, "Well, I don't know. We've just always done it that way." And so her mom asked her husband, "Why do we do this?" And he says, "I don't know. We've always done it this way." And so they got to grandma. And grandma said, "Oh, well, when we did this, you know, 50 years ago, we didn't have a pan big enough to fit the ham, so we cut the ends off." And it's like, well, okay, just because you used to do it a certain way doesn't mean that it's the best way forever.
You're
limited. We've always been limited in our technology and ability. But the problem is it creates a box that you have a hard time getting out of.
100%. Well, I want to ask
you to expand on that for just a second, though. Because one of the things that comes up is, you know, I know, and for those of y'all don't know, ClickBit has the best streaming platform integrated, fully integrated into their platform. It's why.
Stop.
Well, no, I say that because
I've seen
a bunch of them, and some of them were left very lacking. So that's, and so I'm not saying, you know,
or lagging, right?
I want to give credit where credit is due. But, you know, it's not just the video portion that really creates a lot of value.
Yep.
I mean, just the ability to be able to share your event out just with
interface.
The platform other ways than that, I think is part of where you're going, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the idea that, you know, your event starts at 6, doors open at 6, but there's an open bar, there's socializing, there's things that people benefit from by being ticket holders.
Mm-hmm.
But the real program starts at 7:30 when the meal's done and the foundation director gets up to start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can broadcast that, so you don't have to broadcast the whole thing because nobody wants to watch a bunch of people eating dinner.
Right.
You can, your virtual portion doesn't have to be the same as your physical portion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So nonprofits used to be afraid that, well, if we do this, then nobody will go to the event. And it's like, well, definitely that's not true because of what happened after COVID. I mean, we've all had the choice now to go to a virtual event, and we're so ready to go back to in-person.
You take it away, people clamor for it even more, we found, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, you bring that program out there. Now, when you think about it from that perspective, you have the opportunity to engage the people that are watching, not just to see the program, but to, you know, do the same tear jerking, you know, the video that really brings the message home, really, you know, speaks the emotional truth of the nonprofit, and people can give in the same way as people in the room, and being able to reduce that, you know, delay between the people who are watching at home and the people who are watching at the venue, they can all participate as one big group. And of course, you know, forever people have been able to, you know, phone into an auction and you know, I've seen, you know, Christie's auctions where people have tables of phones and you can call in. But now we're bringing it to the nonprofit and letting them do it with video. So
that's a great example, brother. That was a great example. Yeah. It's very true. It's been going on since the beginning, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. Cool stuff. Yeah. I love that. I love the idea of that, selective streaming during those events. I think that's a really cool idea, and I think a lot of folks could utilize that to great success, for sure.
Sure. Yep. Send a message 5-10 minutes before the program starts to everybody who didn't check into the event and say, "Hey, you know, don't miss out. This is your chance. Turn on the program. It's starting in 5 minutes or at 7:30.
And let's hear this person speak." Super good.
Well,
that's
one of the things that has come up that, you know, during nobody really knew what to do with all these virtual events. So what we've seen productions that were, you know, really stripped down and very bare bones to very extravagant and really, you know, big with
like
big
viewing parties and stuff. And all, we've seen all
sorts
of stuff.
Well, I'm
right?
talking about just on the technology side, you know, where they'd have the big wall behind them that was all video walls and
all these kind of things. Absolutely.
And, you know, there's kind of a balance. What are you guys seeing with people doing that, having success on this, where they're kind of balancing that out? Because, I mean, there's a cost to it. There is a cost to, you know, not from necessarily on the software side. I'm not talking that because that's nominal. I'm talking about on the actual production side.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That's a great observation, because, you know, the concern that I have with nonprofits is that they're going to think, I can't add on the virtual.
Right.
The virtual component, because I'm already paying so much to do this,
the venue,
stage, screens, all this, you know, all this stuff. I can't hire another camera person, another AV person. And what we're saying is, okay, well, break it down to its basic. You probably already have image magnification in the room at an in-person event. Somebody's got a camera set up in the back and they're pumping it to two screens. All you need to do to bring that into the virtual world is just take a cable, plug it into a laptop, and broadcast it. And so there's no additional production cost. Now, what you could do if you were, you know, this cutting edge, bleeding edge nonprofit that wanted to really go crazy, you could have an additional, like a podcaster would kind of be stationed off into a section where they would be the virtual host. So no, we don't want to watch people eating, but we could have a camera with the host walking around, mm-hmm. you know, doing the interviews, and, you know, that takes it to a whole new level, but of course it's possible. And then the question is, well, wait a minute, which one do we do? You know, I would say, start simple and do this. Just take the video that's already being projected to two big screens in the room and just add a third screen, which happens to be a broadcast.
Yeah.
If you have.
That's easy, brother. Yeah. That's easy.
Yeah. Part of this, when I asked that question, that's what I wanted you to say, is that basically there's no additional cost. I mean, it's so nominal that there's just no reason not to do it. And I was wanting to hear you say is, you know, to encourage people to quit overthinking about all the production stuff and just keep it simple.
You know, we found in our research that the average donation that we get into ClickBit is about $500 from a charity event. Mm-hmm. So if you do a virtual broadcast and you broadcast to 10 people, if one of those people donates, your nonprofit has brought in, you know, $500.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a financial standpoint, you're generating revenue and you're generating income. But mm-hmm. on a social level, and this goes to, you know, what you guys do at HGA with the items. It's your event is not just a one-time, you know, in a room thing. It's a chance to communicate. You have, you know, I'm adding this incredible auction package that I've never had before, but I partnered with HGA, so I got this really cool trip to, you know, wherever, and now I'm going to make it a big social splash. And I'm going to put it out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it out on Facebook, Instagram.
Yep.
And it's giving you a reason to communicate with your donors, because engagement is key. Yep. Stay engaged, but you don't want to bore them to death with meaningless information.
Right.
So, you know, broadcasting live is another chance to communicate that we're going an extra step further. We're getting out there to all our constituents around the country. And we've got these amazing auction packages that we've never had before. And they're awesome. You know, they're not just your run of the mill, which are good run of the mill, but you know, it's not a wine package or a cooler full of wine. This is a trip to a vineyard to learn about wine. And so, you know, that's the other side of these events that you can't miss out on is the socializing pieces of it, the ability to reach out to donors and communicate with them.
That's excellent.
Do you guys have any quantifiable data that you could share about that, about what you're seeing for the ones that do and versus the ones that don't?
We could, we can provide some for sure. Yeah, okay. we don't have anything put together on the spot. I don't have it, but yes, what we do know is from, you know, during the pandemic, nonprofits were raising as much as they were in years past. Mm-hmm. We would hear from countless nonprofits that they thought 2021 and 2022 and 2020 were just throwaway years, you know, we'll just try to break even. But when they did do their events virtually, they raised as much.
Tremendous amount of money.
I think that's awesome, the thing, man. We saw. And one of the big things was, you know, I used to tell people, you need, if you want to raise, making a number up, $100,000, you need to have $50,000 before you walk in the door. And, you know, when COVID and everything came around, so then it was like, okay, you need to be 70-80%. And then to expand on the top of that, and we're seeing a lot of those same habits now carrying into 22, into 23, where they're getting their sponsorships and underwriting really up front, which is something, you know, the software platform obviously helps with. But when they get to the night of, what are you guys, from your perspective, are you seeing happening with those night of fundraising items? Like, you know, we talked a little bit before about silent auction, you know, fund a need, live auction. How are you seeing those things shake out?
Or the trends and what have you?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more adoption of our partnerships with, you know, packages from HG, because, you know, a lot of restaurants, a lot of places are just not operating right now, or very limited capacity. And it's, and so, it's not, what I would say is it's not as bad as I feared it would be. I, you know, a lot of people thought you're not going to find an auction item for the next 2 years, but it hasn't been like that. But I will say, if you're not buffering your catalog with these experience items and these things that get people excited to come in, then you're missing out, because you're not going to have as big of a catalog. So the catalogs will be smaller of items to be auctioned off. But, you know, schools and, you know, have a lot of built-in items with, you know, class projects.
Absolutely.
You know, smart. Different kinds of awards and parking spaces and stuff like that, you know, that they can always, they'll always be able to auction off. And that's phenomenal, because it helps in times like these. But certainly in 23, the number of available items will go up. But I still think exactly what we found with video during the pandemic of saying, oh, wow, this was actually not nearly as hard as I thought, and it's pretty cool. I think people are finding with these packaged experiences, they're saying, oh, well, this was way easier than I thought it was going to be.
And it's turnkey.
And that's awesome. Able to advertise it and use it as a really good hook.
That's such a huge... excited. Oh, Matt, we can't preach that enough about advertising. And you said the term engage, you know, with folks, and it's just another opportunity to do so. I think that's huge. I think that's seldom understood, as a matter of fact. That might sound like a micro tool, but with a macro effect. I think that's, like I said, we just preach that as much as folks will listen. We've dedicated other episodes to this as well. Engaging with folks, letting them know what's going to be available, letting them know and advertise the experiences, whether it's, you know, this or that or the other thing, or a donated item or what have you, or the parking spot at the school or what have you, or the opportunity to have dinner with the principal, who knows, right? But just the engagement, as you mentioned, the advertising aspect of this on all, across all platforms, it's just a win every time, right?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode, where we'll continue this awesome discussion. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.